I want to say that it is good to be with you. We appreciate the opportunity to share our burden for the Philippines, our call to the Philippines, and to share the Word of God with you this morning. So if you would turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. We're going to read several verses here and then make our way through them as our text. And we're kind of picking up in the middle of a story. If you've been in church a while, you probably will recognize this story. It's about a woman, a Samaritan woman. It's often called, she's called the woman at the well. And so Jesus was traveling, passing through Samaria. He stopped at Jacob's well that had already at this point had been there for hundreds of years in Israel. And he stopped and dealt with this woman. And we're going to pick up in the middle of their conversation and then read on a ways afterwards. John 4 and verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the privilege of being in your house this morning, and Lord, the opportunity to open your word. And Lord, I thank you for each one that's here today. And Lord, I pray that you might speak to each person here in the auditorium in a personal way. And Lord, I ask that you would help me as I preach, that I might say those things that you once said. I pray for your liberty and Lord, your power. And Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage, I believe, outlines for us some principles that are necessary for a church to have an effective missions program. And when I talk about missions, I don't just mean going to the Philippines. I mean that your church, Vision Baptist Church, you have a mission. We call it the Great Commission. Jesus gave it to the first church when he was here on the earth. And now today it's your mission. And so when we think of the Great Commission, we think of our mission. It really starts at the door back here as you go out of this building back into the world. And the Bible says that the mission starts in Jerusalem. And Glendale is your Jerusalem. And then in Samaria and Judea and to the uttermost part of the earth. And so it's a big responsibility that you have on your shoulders this morning as a church, as one of the Lord's churches. And, you know, the name of your church, Vision Baptist Church. And in talking to your pastor, I can tell that that he has a vision of some things that that he wants this church to do. And even listening through the announcements today, you know, you're having Bible school and you have visitation and you have invitations. And so there's a need. And I'm sure you're familiar with Proverbs where it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And so it is important to have a missions, if I could say, program, for lack of a better word. And you know, as Baptists, we believe in missions. We believe in the Great Commission. We believe in visitation. We believe in sending missionaries and all these different parts of fulfilling the Great Commission. And so we have a missions plan, a missions program. But the question is whether or not we are going to be effective. See, we have, in other words, we have a job to do. And the question is whether we are going to fulfill that job, whether we are going to do a good job. And so I believe this passage can help us with that issue of how to be effective. And so we're going to look at some things here about how to have an effective missions program in your church. And I would point out, first of all, that Jesus, he was talking to this Samaritan woman. The disciples had gone into town get food, and they've come back out now to Jacob's well. And in verse 31, they've come upon him having this conversation with this woman, and she leaves, and they say, and we'll see some more about her in a while, but she leaves, and they say in verse 31, they say, "Master, we brought food, you need to eat." And he stops them. And he says, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of." And as often was the case, when what he said went over their heads, they didn't want to immediately admit that. So rather than asking him, they start talking among themselves. And they're saying, "Where did he find food?" And he knows, of course, this is going on. And they said, "Has any man brought him aught to eat?" And Jesus stops them again and he says, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Keep in mind, this is John 4, so it's very early in the public ministry of Jesus. He's just called these men. He's just begun training them. And one of the first lessons that he's trying to get them to understand is that once you are saved, the spiritual becomes more important than the physical. Right, we understand the world. The Bible says the Gentiles seek after all the things of this world. What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? Where am I going to live? All these different things that lost people focus on. And when we're saved, our focus should change. And so if we're going to be effective in our mission, then our mission is going to have to become a priority. A priority. And that's what we see in the life of Jesus. It's interesting that concerning his, from the time of his birth until he's a grown man, 30 years old, we only have one conversation that he had recorded in the Word of God. And that was when he was 12 years old. You remember the story. He's in the temple. He's in Jerusalem. His parents have come there to worship, and they are going home. They realize he's not with them. They go back after him, and his mother finds him in the temple, and she's upset. You know, it must have been hard to raise a perfect child because you didn't have anybody to blame. And so she's upset. She says, "Your father and I, we sought you sorrowing." And remember what Jesus said, the only words out of his mouth as a child that we know. He said, and this is paraphrasing, he said, "Don't you know," he said, "I must be about my father's business." He came to this earth on a mission. It drove him all the way to the cross. He was on a mission. That was the focus of his entire earthly life, what his father had sent him to do. And this morning, as an independent Baptist church, you are on a mission. It must be the priority of your church to accomplish that mission. I understand, you know, we've got to have jobs, we've got to have homes, we need these things, but God said if we'll seek him first, Those other things will fall into place. But the mission must be the priority. If you'll notice in verse 35, Jesus said, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest." The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so to say, "There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest," that reflects an attitude. That's what he's getting at, is not these words, but an attitude coming out of the heart. And the attitude is one of procrastination, like, not right now. If we're going to be effective, we've got to beware of this thing called procrastination. You know, I don't know how well in Arizona you understand crops, and I don't know what grows here. But up where I'm from, in South Dakota and originally from Illinois, they raise a lot of crops. And every farmer understands that when the crops are ready, if you don't get out there, sometimes you'll see farmers in the middle of the night with a big headlight on their tractor, and they're out there bringing in the harvest, because they understand if you don't, you know, just a simple garden, we understand if you have a tomato and it's ripe and you don't pick it, what happens? It falls to the ground and it rots. And you see, there are people out there that are ripe unto harvest, and if we wait till tomorrow, some of those opportunities are going to be gone. Once a man's in the ground, it's too late to harvest him. It's too late to reach him. And you know, many times the Spirit of God has put a burden on our heart for someone, and yet we're looking for that perfect time. You know, we intend to talk to our neighbor about the Lord. We intend to talk to that coworker. Maybe it's some relative that we have that's lost, and we intend to talk to them, but we're looking for that perfect time. And we just put it off. You know, not this Thanksgiving. I don't want to fuss at the family dinner. I don't want to, you know, bring up what in their mind is religion again. I don't, you know, I don't want my coworker to, you know, to not want to work with all these things that get in our head, and we procrastinate people that God has put on our hearts. And we've got to be aware of that. We've got to be aware of this idea that we can do it tomorrow. See, many things in the Christian life, the devil is very clever. He doesn't say don't ever do it. He just says don't do it now. Don't witness today. Don't serve now. Wait till this is taken care of and that's taken care of. And all these different things that become excuses where we put off obedience to the Lord. In the book of Acts, in chapter 16, the Bible is describing Paul's missionary journey, and the Bible says that there were several places as they were traveling, seeking the Lord's will. Several times God said, no, don't go there. The Spirit suffered them not. But one night, the Bible said Paul had a vision, and we call it the Macedonian vision. We sing it in that song, Send the Light. We have heard the Macedonian call today, Send the Light. Paul had a vision of a man saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And the Bible says that it uses the word immediately. Immediately when he knew where God was directing him, immediately. And then the next verse says, and with a straight course. See, I've been a preacher a long time. Someone here asked me, what did you do before you preacher? I was in high school. I worked a few jobs to save up money for college. But all my adult life, I've been a preacher. And in 2013 was my first trip to the Philippines. I've been in a lot of foreign countries. But 2013 was my first trip to the Philippines. I came back from there. Felt like my heart was ripped out. I talked to my pastor. We prayed some, and God didn't answer. He didn't say yes. He didn't say no. And so I went on with what he had told me to do, which was be in the church in Sioux Falls and serve on staff there. Then in 2016, my wife and I went to the Philippines, and we came back from that trip, and not thinking it was a survey trip, but just to go over and be a part of the ministry there with our missionary in Manila. Came back from that trip, and again, heavy-hearted. And within a couple of weeks, The Lord said, now it's time. Yes, I am calling you to the Philippines. And immediately, that was in August of 2016. And immediately, talked to my pastor, talked to my family, talked to my church. My wife and I started selling everything we owned, having yard sales. We raised the money to pay for a car that would go out on the road and make it 60,000 miles like we've driven in the last year. We did that immediately because then we knew. And I'm saying, don't put off. If God speaks to your heart today, He wants you to respond today. If God deals with you about witnessing to someone, it's probably because it's time to witness to them. Don't put off obeying the Lord. Maybe this morning you're here and you're lost and God's already dealt with you many times about your soul. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. We've got to beware. If we're going to be effective, we've got to beware of procrastination. And then if you'll notice in verse 35, it says, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. What we're seeing here is the prospects of missions. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields. There's a reason why missionaries show pictures. I call them slides. I think I called them slides this morning. I still call them slides. I've had preachers stop me and say, you know, those really aren't slides anymore. That's a PowerPoint. You know, I'm still thinking of those old slides that you ran in the projector. And I get it. But the point is, we show pictures. Because the Bible says the eye affects the heart. And we show pictures so you can lift up your eyes and you can look on our field. But you know, right here in Glendale, you have a field. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields. We've got to see, if we're going to be effective, we've got to see these are people. These are souls we're talking about. You know, you don't get a burden for souls sitting in a pew. You get a burden for souls when you get out there and you start knocking on people's doors. You start meeting people and you realize this is a real person. And you see what sin has done to their life and to their home and to their health and to their family. And you begin to see these are real people. We've got to lift up our eyes. We're very preoccupied in America. Everywhere you go today, what do you see? You see people carrying around that little thing in their hand. And they're on there texting, typing, Googling. We got to get our eyes off me, myself, and I. And look on the fields. Because they're right. We've got to see the prospects of missions. They're all around us. And I would point out here when talking about prospects, John 3 is about Nicodemus. He was wealthy. He was religious. He was moral as a man can be. He had all the answers. He knew how to dress. He knew how to talk. He knew how to act. You know, and he was religious, but he was lost. And sometimes we'll look at religious neighbors or religious people around us and we'll say something like, well, they're a good Christian. Well, if they don't know Jesus Christ, they're not a good Christian. They're religious but lost. And we've got to see those people as prospects. You see, the religious person is just as lost as the heathen or the pagan or whatever word you want to use. So in John 3, we've got Nicodemus and Jesus got in his face and said, you must be born again. And in John 4, we have this Samaritan woman. She's ethnically mixed. The Jews considered a Samaritan worse than a Gentile. She's half Jew and half Gentile. They despise the Samaritans. Well, she didn't choose to be born a Samaritan. Right? People don't choose to be born a certain color. They don't choose to be born in a certain place. And so we've got to realize this Samaritan woman, as the story between her and Jesus unfolded in the beginning of this chapter, it tells us she'd been married 5 times. As we read the account here, you may have picked up when she went back to town to talk about Jesus, all she knew was men. She's there in the middle of the day because she doesn't want to see any women. This is not when you went to get your water in the heat of the day around noon when she met Jesus. She's out there that time of day because she does, you know, this is not the kind of woman that has women friends. This is the kind of women in our culture. This is the kind of woman with all the ink and all the metal. people look at and say they'd never come to church or they'd never receive Christ. They wouldn't be. See, we have this idea of putting people in boxes and deciding who is worthy or open. And the fact is, no one's too good to be saved and no one's too bad to be saved. Everyone needs to be born again. And, you know, maybe this morning you're here and you're a religious Baptist. You aren't going to get to heaven that way. You must be born again. And so we've got to lift up our eyes and we get to see the prospects. And then if you'll notice in verse 36, it says, "And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." Verse 36 is helping us understand the payment of missions. The payment. We are talking about eternal fruit. That's the payment. How many things do we put time and money, energy into, and they're just things. They're just things. How many things do we just have to have it, and a few months after we get it, it's in the garage, it's in the basement, it's at the dump, because it really wasn't that important. But when we invest in missions, we are going to reap eternal fruit. The payment for missions, the payment for getting out there and knocking on some doors and saying, "Can I talk to you about the Lord? Can I invite you to Vision Baptist Church?" The payment for that is eternal reward. I believe there'll be people in heaven that will come up to us and thank us for sending the gospel to them. I believe there'll be people in heaven from other countries of missionaries that Vision Baptist Church has supported. And they'll come up to you in heaven and say, "Thank you for being a member of Vision Baptist Church and sending this missionary to Africa and supporting him so he could share the gospel with me. And now I'm in heaven." We're talking about eternal souls. The payment, how much... How can you put a price on that? What would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Eternal souls, eternal fruit. Paul in Philippians, he wrote to that church and he said, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." One of the hardest things for me being on deputation is, and I've always felt like if God called me to be a missionary, this was the part I didn't want to do, was deputation. Because I feel like I'm going around the country asking for people to give me money. That's the fact of it. I was raised poor, but I was raised, you work hard. You do it yourself. You don't ask for things. You work and you pay for what you want and what you need. And so this is foreign to me. I have to remind myself that I'm not asking for myself. I'm asking for those people in the Philippines. And I'm offering an opportunity for you to invest in eternal fruit. Eternal fruit. The payment of missions. If you'll notice in verse 37, it says, "Hearing is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth." And what Jesus is explaining here is the process of missions. The process. Sometimes we can get weary in well-doing, where we, just what the pastor said, we invite people and they don't come. And we say, "Well, this isn't working. You know, I invited somebody, they didn't show up. I invited them maybe 10 times and they still haven't shown up." And we get weary, but missions is a process. Planting a church is a process. Growing a church, it's a process. We are impatient. We like instant in America. Everything like that. Microwaves, drive-thrus, we want it now. We want our computer to work at the speed of lightning. Because we're impatient. And missions doesn't work that way. It's a process where there's sowing first and later there's reaping. It's a process. There's visiting, there's praying, there's working. It's a process. We have to understand that. There's an interesting passage in Psalm 126. Some of you are probably familiar with that. I'm going to turn over and read it, and we'll come right back to John if you want to turn with me or you want to just listen. Psalm 126, 5 and 6. There's something very important here that we know these verses, we memorize these verses, but I want to call our attention to something in particular. It says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." You know, one of the things here I would point out, this kind of sounds like a promise, doesn't it? The Lord said, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves." That's a promise. He's describing the process. But one part of this process that I believe we are sadly lacking in both verse 5 and 6. Verse 5 says tears. Verse 6 says weeping. You see, it doesn't matter how good the seed is. And this seed is perfect that we have this morning. It doesn't matter how good the seed is. Anybody who's grown anything understands that seed will not germinate without water. It will not happen. Water. And I'm saying many times we fulfill our mission. We visit. We witness. We fulfill our mission of planting seed or putting the seed out there. And we say, "Well, I've done my part. I've done my duty." But I would ask you this morning, how long has it been since you had someone on your heart and you wept for them? How long has it been since you brought someone's name down here to this altar and you had such a burden? You just poured out your heart to God to save them. I'm saying we have forgotten how to weep. We've forgotten how to care. The Bible says, and some have compassion making a difference. It's not just what we say, it's why we say it. It's not just what we say, it's how we say it. We've got to go with compassion. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again. You know that old saying, people don't care what you know unless they know if you care. In the minds of many people, we are just one more religion. The difference that they can see and must see is our burden, our compassion. Our compassion, the process of missions, going forth. It's like fishing. You don't catch anything if you don't put any bait in the water, right? You go forth, you take the precious seed, you water the seed with your prayers and your tears. And God said there will be a harvest. An effective missions program. We go back to John chapter 4. And I want to notice something else here in verse 38. Three simple words that begin verse 38. It says, "I sent you." If we're going to be effective, we've got to listen to the planner of missions. And that's God. That's the Spirit of God. We've got to be sensitive to the Spirit of God if we're going to be effective. See, I believe I can be effective in the Philippines because God is sending me over there. I believe you can be effective right here in Glendale because God has put you in this body, in this community. We've got to listen to the Spirit of the Lord. We've got to be submissive to the planner of missions. Jesus said in John 20:21, as my Father sent me, even so send I you. Isaiah 6:8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Matthew 9:38, pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Acts 13:1-4. There were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, and the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Saul and Barnabas, for the work whereunto I have called them. And they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. We've got to listen to the planner of missions. We've got to listen to the Word of God and the Spirit of God. The planner of the mission is the Lord. And then if you'll notice also in verse 38, it says, I sent you to reap that wherein you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. This is describing a partnership. Missions is about a partnership. For this church to be effective, all of the members need to do their part. You see, the less, if you have a body, and you do this morning, that's how you got here, all right, you have a body, you understand that when one part of your body doesn't work right, it affects your whole body. If you have a bad headache, it can affect your entire ability to do work. If one of your hands is hurt, it affects your ability to pick things up and carry them, because now you have one hand instead of two. And if a church doesn't have participation, it affects the ability of that church to do its job. When I pulled up this morning to this church, I saw something outside. You know what it was? A bus. When I was praying in this other room with your pastor and several of the men here, you know what I heard? I heard, we need a bus driver. And we need a bus captain. And then when I was listening to the announcements, you know what I heard? We need people to work in the nursery. See, that's part of the mission. Providing families that come in somewhere to put a baby so that they can be in the service without distraction. That is part of missions. Right? And then I heard, we need some people to come and work VBS. You know what? After VBS is over, maybe some of those children are going to be ready to get on a bus and come to Sunday school. Who's going to pick them up? Who's going to do that job? You see, there's plenty to do. If you're a member of this church, God puts you here to participate. And I'm not trying to be unkind this morning, but sitting in a pew is not participating. You're here to serve. And as you serve, you grow and you learn, and God blesses your life. And so I would challenge you. You know, maybe the place to start is just to come down here and say, Lord, I'll do anything. Maybe the place to start is to come to your pastor and say, Pastor, what do you think I could do in this church? What do you need done that you think I could do? Make yourself available and then be dependable. Be involved in the mission. The key to a church being effective is when the members participate. When the members participate, the key to sending missionaries is to recognize it's a partnership. I wish our sending church in Sioux Falls could just write a check for the entire amount that we need every month to be in the Philippines, but they can't do that. It's about a partnership. We're looking for partners to have a part in sending us to the Philippines. Missions requires working together, a partnership in the local body and a partnership between like faith Baptist churches, a partnership with each one doing their part. And then if you'll notice in verse 39, and we're almost done, it says, many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman. While Jesus was dealing here with his disciples, this woman went back to town. The Bible says in verse 28, she went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city, verse 30, and came unto him. You know, I believe, and if you saw my slides, you can see I've been involved a lot in training ministry, in education. I believe in training and education. I believe that God says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. So don't misunderstand this comment. Here's a woman. She just got saved. For a lack of a better term, I doubt this woman had been to Sunday school. She hadn't taken any soul winning classes. She hadn't memorized the Romans Road. It hadn't been written yet. She hadn't done any of those things, but she knew the Lord and she started talking to people about him. You see, the devil's very clever of saying, you can't talk to people because they might ask a question, you don't know the answer. Well, guess what? They can ask a question, I don't know the answer. And I've been a preacher for a long time, 40 years. And I'm just saying, that's not the issue. God says, be ready to give an answer concerning our faith. I'm saying, if you're saved, you can participate in the mission. Here's a woman. She has a lot of problems. She has quite a history. But she considers it her responsibility to start talking to people about Christ. If you know him, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Visitation is not just for your pastor. It's not just for the deacons, or it's not just for a special group of people in your church. It's for you. It's for you. You're either this morning, and you've probably heard this saying, but it's true. You're either a missionary or a mission field. You're either part of this on one side or the other. Either you don't know the Lord and you need him this morning, or you need to be involved in serving him. He saved you to serve. We don't get saved by service, but we do get saved for service. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Do your part. Get involved. Get involved. We come finally to the purpose. What is the entire purpose of all this? Verse 42 says, and they said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. The purpose of this is so that people that were once lost can say, now I believe. Now I know him. See, many people know about him in their head. But these men were able to say, now I personally know him. He's not in my head. He's now in my heart. That's our purpose, is so that men and women, boys and girls, can come to that point through repentance and faith where they can say, now I know him. Now it's personal. Now I have not just religion, I have a relationship. A relationship. That's our mission, is to help people come into a right relationship with Jesus Christ. You have this morning a great mission, a great responsibility. The question is, are you going to be effective in fulfilling the job that the Lord himself has given you to do?